crucible of futurism. The world that draws near with every eventfully driven day is a world that shall be born from the blood of the innocent, the foolish, and the carefree. This system that seeks the liquidation of the useless classes, as it sees it, will eliminate without discrimination and with pure inclusivity for the sustainability of this world, you see. They speak of stakeholder capitalism, which is a euphemism for corporate fascism. Although, let us put into perspective with a pleasant analogy. Let us take the game of Monopoly, for example. In the game of Monopoly, we have an assortment of players and the omnipotent banker. Now, the banker can create credit at will and can, by and large, create the winning players that will join them on the side of success. That is another discussion for another day. But digressing, let us cut to the chase and fast forward through our game of Monopoly to the end, where the winners have monopolized the board and the losing players are either bankrupt or endlessly going round the board collecting their past goal welfare, analogous of the weekly wage or benefits, without any hope of social or financial mobility, as their hotels and property have been all but bought up by the monopolists, and none are left to spare. This is stakeholder capitalism in its prototypical sense. But what is the next rational move the banker and monopolists can then make to ensure that their position in the game is unassailable to even a coalition of the losers, so to say? Well, the next rational move is to clear the board of the losers and to destroy not just their remaining assets, but the biological vehicles that could be utilized against the monopolists. They eliminate the last vestiges of competition, that is. From the standpoint of the monopolist, this is only logical and prudent, and though it may seem unfair, nature cares not for fairness. However, in our position, we are naturally endowed with the need for self-preservation, and thus we are beholden to such a need. Thence, it is only within our nature to thwart the universalizing scope of their plan, and to hereby ensure some survive to rebuild a power base to contest these monopolies existent. Even a fragment can pierce the heart of a dragon. Do remember this. This is what stakeholder capitalism is, and its inexorable drives are. To discuss the current status of our struggle, according to the official figures, which could be a mere ruse to demoralise, mind you, 6.41 billion have already taken at least one. Thus, that is 82% of individuals who have given up already. That makes us, the stragglers, around 1.343 billion strong. Before all is said and done, by the end of 2022 or 2023, we will see around 91% of individuals succumbing to this through the restrictive quality that would encompass their lives without the needlecraft, so to say. That would leave us at approximately 691 million, let us say 650 million, to be conservative within our outlook. At that point, when all economic and social restrictions have been exhausted, and the targeted minority created in its totality, then you will see the Fleischwolf begin, the meat grinder, that is. This may be by 2024-2025-ish, if I was to hazard a guess. That means once we have been thoroughly villainized, they will hunt us, no matter where we go, as they cannot allow even a pair of us to continue to survive and breed, to breed more dissidents from the barracks of the dissident womb, to be moulded by the armaments of dissident knowledge and the dissident ways, to be inflamed by the dissident torch of liberty and the dissident ideal of justice. Given enough time, enough generations, we may pose a problem to them, and with the addition of historical enmities, global mass genocide being the primary one, we would seek a restitution of the old and an equity to be paid in blood. This would be carried out with irrepressible vengeance, by our descendants, conceivably. Hence, you see the dilemma of our oppressor's position. Couple that with their grievous paranoia, and you have the makings of genocidalists. It goes back to what I stated previously. Even a fragment can pierce the heart of a dragon. Let us see as to what Stanley Johnson had to say regarding this all. Stanley Johnson is Boris Johnson's father, and a lifelong eugenicist or bioethicist. He has written many books regarding population control, some fictional and some non-fiction investigations into potential policy and demographic reduction theory. Some of his most poignant books I put up on the screen now for the viewers to see. His 1982 book, which was republished recently, right in line with the event, details how a contagion would be intentionally released so that the government could then, off the back of the perceived threat, bring forth a needle-crafted cure, which would be the catalyst for global depopulation. Strangely prophetic, would you not say? We have his preceding fictional dystopia of the Marburg virus, which is another one of Stanley's flirtations with the idea of a contagion, and the subsequent cure being the disguise for a population control policy. Naturally, this is all very prophetic, some could say planned, and we are seeing the Marburg virus now being brought to the fore. These narratives were formalized many years ago, far in advance of the instituting of them. Hence, we now see the culmination of their tireless efforts. Like it was in Stanley's fictional accounts of this plan, the cures, needle crafts, deadly effects must be seen as being entirely natural all the way to the end, to not arouse public suspicion, you see. We also have this illuminating quote from his non-fictional, quasi-academic piece entitled Life Without Birth, published in 1970. Quote, "Action on the population front means somehow trying to slow down or even halt this rate of growth by reducing the number of babies who are born each year. The alternative to this, both pessimists and optimists are agreed, is inevitable. If the number of new births cannot be reduced, the number of deaths each year must increase until the net growth of the world's population is cut down to a more manageable number. This business of an increase in the death rate is not, of course, attractive. The recipes, which include thermonuclear war, global famine, plague, and a newly discovered horror called eco-catastrophe, are all unpalatable. At the time, the task of achieving a reduction in the global birth rate, which I call population control for the sake of simplicity, though clearly more death is also a form of population control." Unquote. Somewhat an obsession for the old goat, as he would incessantly continue his toying with this idea of the final solution to this most aggrieving of problems. Maybe Stanley aided in the discovery of such a solution through his imaginative writing, or maybe he just caught wind of the future plans from his paymasters, much like Aldous Huxley had written in fiction what his brother Julian was endeavouring to create in reality. What I find extremely interesting is a 2012 interview where Stanley broadcasts a figure for the UK population to be reduced to 10 to 15 million by, quote, no later than 2025, unquote. And just how concurrent it is with the Deagle Report's predictions of 15 million by 2025. I will play that interview clip now.
The no-growth people, but I'd add as a corollary to that, you have to get population under control as well, because if you look at it in sheer economic terms, how can you sustain increases in per capita income at a time when you have rising population without rising economic growth? Whereas if you have a declining population, which is what I would aim for, then of course even a stable economic growth situation will give you increases in per capita income. So that's where I stand on
that. Do you have a sense of what the carrying capacity of Britain is, or of the of the world as a whole? Or?
Well, Britain, I'd put it at 10 or 15 million. I think that'd be absolutely fine. I mean, that would do us really splendidly. At a limit, 2025, I think it's complete nonsense that we are now confronted with an island, would you believe it, of 70 million people. I wrote a paper, I think it's the only paper the Conservative Party has ever published, and it was published as an old Queen Street paper in June 1972, oddly enough. And it was called Britain Needs a Population Policy. And
you could still argue that today, I mean, right now.
I certainly could. But what has happened, of course, is that we have all been, as it were, shunted off course by what you might call the rise of political correctness, because you can't talk about this now without being saying you're anti-feminist because you're telling women what to do with their bodies, or you're racist because you're saying it's the browns and the blacks and the yellow races who mustn't have, or you're left-winger because you're religion and trying to get it, you know, the capitalist society. So it's a very, very difficult one now, and I would say that at the very least the governments of the world have to start talking, the government of this country has to start talking seriously about immigration. Because if you look at the rise in Britain's population now, you will see that, as it were, there is a really serious differential in the fertility of the immigrant population to the fertility of what you might call the indigenous population. So anyway, but this is very political stuff, not one for Guardian readers.
As you see, that is exactly what the Deagle Report states. This cannot be a coincidence, can it? We also see Stanley, within a newer interview just recently, stating that one cannot be too ruthless in enforcing needlecraft mandates.
It's absolutely the right of anyone, footballers, public figures, private employees, and I think also care home staff, to make the decisions about what goes into their body. And I don't think that they should be put under the spotlight in this way, being asked what their vaccine status is or any other medical status. Well,
now, Stanley will love this one, although...
I mean, I just want to say I just totally disagree with that. I mean, I think you cannot be too ruthless in making sure people get vaccinated.
We now see the French government are proposing to pass a bill that would mandate this needlecraft for all French citizens by the end of January 2022. The New Zealand government are following the dictatorial ways of Australia by putting forth laws for mandatory house arrest, isolation, swabbing, and entering of premises without a warrant. And the rest of the world are busily doing their part within this insane machination to reduce world population as quickly and as quietly as possible. All the while, us who are awake can only watch on in horror as the slumbering masses, with a dutiful smile, take their poison and go about their merry way until, at such time, it takes full effect. Whatever happens from now, we have to understand that over the next decade, we will see a reduction of the world population by an order of magnitude of 82% minimum, with current uptake. I know, you despair. But what more could we have done? We tried to warn them. We even implored them to cease in going ahead with this. For years we have all attempted to bring this to their attention. Though, failed in that task, we certainly tried our darndest. We're living through historic times. Cultures and nations, millennia in the making, will evaporate over the next decade. However, with the closing of the chapter of the old, must open the chapter of the new. Such is the way of the world, and we must adapt in this new and ever-changing crucible. Even a fragment can pierce the heart of a dragon.